I echo the words of the psalmist who said, "I have asked one thing from the Lord. It's all I seek, to live in the Lord's house all the days of my life, seeing the Lord's beauty and constantly adoring his temple, to have hope in the Lord." Welcome to this time of worship as we gather together in this sanctuary, this place to worship God. Today, as we gather together, we continue our Lenten journey. You probably noticed as you came in, the bulletin board out there, kind of mapping out our journey, leading through the 40 days of Lent. And for those who are thinking, well, there's more than 40 days on there, Sundays are not considered part of the Lenten journey. Every Sunday is to be a little Easter, in a sense, to celebrate the resurrection in the midst of our Lenten journey. But as we go through the Lenten journey, we're going through and going back to the basics of our faith, the building blocks of our faith, hence the toy building blocks that we have up here. Last week, we talked about identity. Today, we'll be talking about lament. And what is lament, and how does that fit in with the building blocks of our faith? So as we met last Wednesday at noon and also 6:30 over at Bob's on the Ave, the Just Love Cafe in the evening, we'll be doing the same thing again this week. Invite you to join us either time to be able to have a time of worship, a time of discussion, digging into some of these practices and looking through the book of Acts and trying to connect. What was it like in those early days of the church, of following Jesus Christ? How can we make some of those connections into our world today? So I invite you to join us with those as well. Many different ways to be able to connect together. I invite Les to come up. He's got some information on another way that we're connecting here today during the Growing Connections time. Not sure, is Les in here? Oh, there you are, Les. Les, if you want to share a little bit about, come on up here, share what's happening today with Growing Connections after church.
Good morning. We're going to be talking about the Blandine House in Growing Connections and how I got involved in Blandine. And so join us in Growing Connections.
Excellent. It'll be exciting to hear your stories and the ways that you're able to minister with so many different people. And next Sunday, during the Growing Connections time, right after church in the parlor, we'll be taking a look at Mr. Rogers' Day, about a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, was a Presbyterian minister, if you weren't aware of that, he was. And March 20th is his birthday, so Presbyterian Church has picked that as Mr. Rogers' Day, so we're going to be hearing about Mr. Rogers next Sunday as well. So please join us for that. Reminder, do keep your session in prayer as they will be meeting tomorrow evening for their regular meeting. Now I invite you to focus on the Lord and allow the Spirit to connect with your spirit as we enter into this time of worship and the light of Christ is brought in.
Please stand, if able, and join me in the call to worship. We are on a journey of faith. Jesus is our leader and our guide. Place our trust in him. As the daylight hours grow longer, our journey takes on an urgency.
Prepare our hearts for Jerusalem.
Do not fear. God goes before us into Jerusalem, into the world. Amen. Lord, we come to you this morning with so many concerns and issues that demand our attention. Our lives are burdened, our spirits are tired. Guide our lives and our steps as we walk this Lenten journey, inward and outward. Help us to discern what you would have us to do, that others may be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
When God called your name, God called you to a journey of faith. Do not be afraid to look inside and see those things which are holding you back from being who God created you to be. Place your trust in God, who is always with you, loving you into wholeness. Let us confess our sinful wanderings. There is a certain winter in our spirits today, O Lord. We feel that the journey on which we have embarked will demand too much of us. There are so many other things in our lives which claim our spirits, our energy, our hopes and fears. It is easy to be like Jerusalem, turning our backs on those whom you send. The world shouts its solutions to us and then deserts us when we are in need. Forgive us for the many times in which we have strayed from your pathway, life, when we have chosen not to hear the cries of those in need, when we have belittled the gifts and skills you have given us in order to avoid serving others. Please take a moment for your own personal silent confession. Heal us, O Lord. Place us back on your path to Jerusalem, to live boldly in the shelter of your protections. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When God called your name, God called you to a journey of faith. Do not be afraid to look inside to see those things which are holding you back from being who God created you to be. Know that you are forgiven and place your trust in God, who is always with you, loving you into wholeness. Amen. Hear this promise from Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile all things by making peace through the blood of the cross. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Please share that with those around you. Reading is Psalm 27 this morning. Please join me as we read this together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Should I fear anyone? The Lord is a fortress protecting my life. Should I be frightened of anything? When evildoers come at me, trying to eat me up, it's they, my foes and my enemies, who stumble and fall. If an army camps against me, my heart won't be afraid. If war comes up against me, I continue to trust in this. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It's all I seek. To live in the Lord's house all the days of my life, seeing the Lord's beauty, and constantly adoring his temple, because he will shelter me in his own dwelling during troubling times. He will hide me in a secret place in his own tent. He will set me up high, safe on a rock. Now my head is higher than the enemies surrounding me. and I will offer sacrifices in God's tent, sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and praise the Lord. Lord, listen to my voice when I cry out. Have mercy on me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Lord, I do seek your face. Please don't hide it from me. Don't push your servant aside angrily. You have been my help. God who saves me, don't neglect me. Don't leave me all alone. Even if my father and mother left me all alone, the Lord would take me in. Lord, teach me your way. Because of my opponents, lead me on a good path. Don't give me over to the desires of my enemies, because false witnesses and violent accusers have taken their stand against me. But I have sure faith that I will experience the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Hope in the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Hope in the Lord.
The gospel reading for today comes to us from Luke's gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 31 to 35. Listen for the word of the Lord. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get away from here, because Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will complete my work. However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the Lord's name.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Morning. Can you see the picture today? It's a chicken. Anything different about this chicken that you see? Can you look this way a little bit more? Take a really good look at that chicken. Something about that chicken's not quite right. They have four legs, or even some more legs. How many legs do you have? Six? Is there even a few more? There might be. There's a lot of legs under that chicken. What do you think's happening there? There's chickies in there. What do you think those little chickens are doing in there? Hiding? Why does the mom do that? Because somebody might be attacking them? Maybe. So I see the one chicken on the other side, looks like he's trying to escape a little bit. What do you think? Does mom ever tell you, give you some rules that she wants you to follow, some things she wants you to do, and you don't really want to do those rules? Does that ever happen? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And sometimes we think, there's all these rules. You always are asking us to do stuff. But why do moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas have us follow those kinds of rules? What do you think they do? To keep us safe. And because they love us and they want to keep us safe, they want to protect us from things that might hurt us. So this mama chicken, maybe there's somebody that's around that could hurt them, or maybe it's just so windy outside like it is right now by us, right? That she said, oh, everybody come in. And she puts her arms out, her wings out, and kind of brings them in so that they stay close to her so she can help them and protect them because she loves them. Jesus was talking about that with the people, and he was saying, I just really want to help and protect you and to open up your wings. Does Jesus have wings? What do you think he meant by that? Well, sometimes you can think about it. Have you ever had something you were carrying? Sometimes this happens to me because it's very windy outside. And if I'm carrying a piece of paper, it blows away. So I tuck it under my coat and I put it in there if I don't have a bag or something. I tuck it under my coat. So Jesus wants to protect us. He wants to hold us close, give us a big hug, make sure that we're safe. And sometimes we don't want to stay underneath, kind of like the baby chick that's trying to escape. But God is there always with open arms, welcoming us in again for another great big hug to tell us that he loves us and cares for us and is there to protect us. So we need to stay close. How do we stay close to God? Staying by other people who help us learn more about God and talk about God, and we share that love of God with them, by praying with God, by learning about the stories, by praising God, by worshiping God, right? Those are all ways that we can stay connected so that we can be under God's protection. Let's take a little time and let's say a little prayer and let's think about the ways in which God loves us and that we can stay connected with God. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the love that you give to us each and every day. We know that sometimes we have rules that we follow. Sometimes we have our families, our parents who ask us to do things and we think, oh, not another rule. But we know that you are there to help us. They are there giving us those rules to help us to be safe. We ask that you would help us to connect with you each and every day, that we would be under your loving protection. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have come across a situation in life where either you or someone close to you has been face to face with that question? I've only got a little bit of time to live. What am I going to do with this amount of time? Now, it may be that there is a definite end in sight, or it may be just one of those things that the doctor offers that C word, and you've got cancer or some other diagnosis, and you realize your mortality is there. As we go through Lent, we think of our mortality, our humanness. We don't like to talk about dying. We like to make the most of our life. We like to focus on the positive things of our life. But every once in a while, we wrestle with those questions. What's important to me? And for some people, there is a pivotal point in their life where things shift and they realize, I need to make some changes and make the most of every day that I have left. This sort of theme is central to many popular memoirs that are out there now. These memoirs have become, for many people in our world, what God's word is for you and I. Most of these memoirs, especially the ones that, for whatever reason, whatever characteristics people have deemed as being quote-unquote popular, they highlight a power of the self to overcome. You can become a better self. You can overcome this illness if you just do this or do that. Or it's a memoir of a journey of traveling someplace, of going out into nature, a journey of change, letting go of the stress of life and finding a more simple way of living. And in the midst of that journey, of the changes that I have made for myself, I've discovered this whole new life, and it is so rich and wonderful. The authors and the readers of these memoirs that connect and resonate with these sorts of thoughts are people that are part of what's called an age of authenticity. People who look inward to discover and express their true identity. This is a very different world than the world that most of us grew up in. If you grew up before the 1960s, which majority sitting here today, we grew up before the 1960s. And by we, I mean you, since I was born late 60s. If you were born before the mid-late 60s, you grew up in a different time, a different world. It's a time where belonging and identity was found through voluntary membership in organizations, including the church. Being part of the church was important. It was as if this sense of membership in an organization helped us to be able to accomplish something greater than ourselves. It was a way of connecting with the rest of humanity around the globe in a way that we couldn't from our local place that we were confined to. It was this sense of being a part of something, an association, that gave us a sense of being. It's a world that I grew up in, even though I'm a little bit younger than that. I understand it, I resonate with it. But many, many who are age 50 and under have a deep skepticism for institutions, tend to navigate towards what they would say are more authentic ways of living, more authentic spiritual communities, trustworthy communities that provide space that they can ask the big questions of life without being squelched. Oh, no, 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 you can't ask that. You need to just believe and do this. To be able to name those everyday longings, the losses, the things in life that just don't make sense. That's what I encountered as I went into adulthood. And as I walked away from the church and said, God, if you're out there, you got to prove yourself to me because it's not matching up. This sense of association and your loving kindness for me and having a great plan for me, no, I don't see it. That's part of the reason why there's so many mainline churches that are losing membership, that are closing their doors, that are stressed, trying to just survive. And many of them, their focus is on fixing, quote unquote, the church, making Christianity great again, at least making their perception of Christianity, whatever that may be, that's more than likely comfortable to them. Bring that back. When I felt God's leading to come here to join you in ministry, I sensed something different shaping the life of this household of ministry. There were some unique questions that were being asked, some different perspectives on being God's people. I didn't see any sense of a backwards focused faith, looking backwards to go back to who you once were. Oh, if only we can bring in a young pastor with 60 years of experience that's got little kids that can get the youth going again. All of these stereotypical things of looking backwards. That's not what I sensed. And over the past year, I've seen an authenticity in how you live out your faith. It's exciting. I've seen compassion for those who are hurting, for those who are in need of God's love. I've seen a desire to be a beacon of light, illuminating the darkness of the world. I've seen direct connection to today's gospel text, including all of its complexities. See, today's passage actually has two different pericopes, two different sections to it. There's first what might be called the warning to Herod, warning against Herod, and the second part is a lament over Jerusalem. Why the people who put together the lectionary chose these limited verses and split these, or took these two things that should have been split apart, put them into one, it takes hours, hours and hours of wrestling with the entire book of Luke and the entire journey to Jerusalem that he's on to be able to try to make sense to this and how it fits in. We don't have time to go through all of that. But this is in what's called the travel narrative of Luke's gospel. From the 9th chapter, verse 51, where Jesus says that his face was set towards the cross. Up until middle of the 19th chapter, that entire time is a journey narrative. Jesus traveling with one focus in mind, to die on the cross. The setting of this passage is in Galilee. He's not even in Jerusalem. He's not quite close to it. It's a long ways from it, but yet his focus is definitely on Jerusalem. And here the Pharisees don't seem to be so much against Jesus. In some ways, it's almost like the Pharisees actually care about him. And they say, watch out for Herod. Herod's out to kill you. I don't know if maybe they wanted to be the ones to have that glory. Not quite sure. But Jesus uses this threat to make clear the nature of his death, the nature of his mission. Jesus basically tells them and tells Herod, yeah, I'm going to die, but it's not going to have anything to do with Herod. His threat, his looking to kill me, no. My God's bigger than that. Jesus knew that his death was part of the completion of his ministry. He needed to go through it, but it wasn't about anything that was going to happen from Herod. And we read where Jesus talks about today and tomorrow, that Jesus is saying he's about the work of deliverance and healing today and tomorrow in the everyday work of his life. He's also keenly aware of his destination. That third day is when it's all going to be completed. It's, yes, in part an allusion to the third day when he rose from the dead, but it's also saying it's more than just the everyday work. There's something even bigger. Jesus' healing, his deliverance, it's not going to end when he's crucified. No, it's going to be made perfect and complete by his resurrection. His life's work is not going to be undone by death, but it's going to be completed in his death and resurrection. An important point for us to note is that Jesus' death is all a part of the rest of his ministry. Today, tomorrow, the third day, they all go together. They're all interconnected. Jesus' death is not fundamentally different character than his ministry when he was alive. His resurrection is not a fundamentally different character either. They are all about establishing the kingdom of God. Holding together Jesus' life, death, resurrection helps us make better sense of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a child of God, a member of the body of Christ, the church universal. It helps us to know it's not just about what we do here on Sunday morning. It's not just about what we do in our lifetime. It's cumulative over all time. But it is important. It's complex. It's not something that's easy to grasp and to understand. There's no easy dualistic option about being a Christian. It's not a clear-cut yes, no, right, wrong, in, out. Those are the things that we like, but as we get older, we realize very little is that cut and dried. There's so many more complex nuances and interconnectedness in between. And all of these things, they need to be lived out. Our doctrinal stances and beliefs, our favorite scripture verses that give us guidance, they all need to be lived out as we wrestle together all of these different pieces of information and the reality of our everyday life. We need to figure out how connecting these all together help make our Christian faith authentic, applicable in our everyday life. Throughout Lent, we're preparing ourselves to experience Jesus' death and resurrection. This passage calls us to do so by considering whether our lives are leading toward that cross moment. Do we point people towards Christ? Are we Christ's hands and feet? Can we make sense of our lives as part of the establishment of God's kingdom in our world? Or are there maybe those moments that we're frightened from our mission by the threats of rulers around us? Are we frightened by the loss that might be there? If Jesus were to speak prophetically to us as he did to Jerusalem, what would his message be? What are the ways we have resisted God's message and kingdom, not just here in this place, but as a part of our modern church? How have we played that same tragic role that Jerusalem did? But also, on the other hand, how have we recognized God's message and kingdom? Where have we furthered God's kingdom in powerful ways? And how do we continue to do that? We need to look both directions. But we also need to realize that it's not about you or I. We need to learn from Jesus. He focused his destiny on the cross in Jerusalem. He knows that the people of Jerusalem, they've killed God's prophets in the past. He knows that he too is going to be executed by this city. He knows Jerusalem refuses to listen to the messengers who proclaim the justice, the reign of God. For that reason, the city stands under divine judgment. When we hear that word judgment, many times we get afraid. We have to remember, when judgment is declared in a passage like this, the purpose is that those upon whom that judgment falls, they're intended to come to know what their plight is, what the mistakes are, to repent, to be renewed. Judgment is pronounced for the sake of salvation, not for condemnation. Jesus laments, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He's grieving for a city that he loves. For many of us, we don't know what that word lament means. It's a word that we've heard, and yet we don't live it out. We don't practice lament. What is a prayer of lament? Today's psalm reading is a great example of a prayer of lament. On one hand, these prayers of lament, they express sadness. They describe a distressful state of affairs where things are wrong. But then on the other hand, they know that God exists, and they claim that promise that God hears their cry and has the power to turn what's lamentable into something that's good. In our devotion the other day, my wife and I were wrestling with the difference between grumbling and lamenting. And I don't know if I was right, but I came to the answer that grumbling is where we just want to sit in that mode of complaining, and lamenting is naming maybe what we're complaining about, but naming it in a way that says, God, I don't want to hold on to this anymore. I want to leave this with you. Make it right. It shouldn't be this way. People of Jerusalem, they didn't want to accept God's protection. They wanted to provide it on their own through human power. Throughout the Old Testament, they didn't want God to be their king and rule them. They wanted to be like all the other countries around them. Why can't we have kings like everybody else? A slap in the face to God, who was their king. And yet God said, okay, have it your way if you'd like. What about you and I? What do we choose? Where do we place our trust? What would we do if we knew that we only had a short time left, individually and as a family of faith? Would we be more concerned about ourselves or about improving the quality of life for others? What does that mean for our life, even though we may not know an exact end date? What does it mean for us to live out that otherness of the kingdom of God? To look outside of ourselves. What acts of love or service might God be calling us to live out? Not just loving and serving those who are like us, that we get along with, but those who chase us away, maybe even those who seek to kill us. How do we live out God's command to love even our enemies? What words or prayers might we be able to speak to God? How might we craft a current day lament for our city, for our nation, for our world? Oh, Fond du Lac, Fond du Lac. How often God has wanted to gather you together to protect you. So we pray the Lord's Prayer this week, focusing instead of your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying your will be done in Fond du Lac as it is in heaven. To help us this week focus in on where is God calling us to connect with his kingdom already at work here. This lament of today's scripture, it grounds us for the simple, often presented biblical truth that there's two roads out ahead of us, two paths that we might walk. The road of the self, the authentic road that leads away from God and leads into a realm of human agency. It's all about what we do in our human power. There's also the road of the kingdom, where we walk in faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus the Son walking towards the Father, towards the beauty, the fullness of life that God offers to us, that abundant life. There's two roads that we can walk. Which way do we go? Our way or God's way? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we respond to God's word, we respond in many different ways. One of those ways is to be able to offer back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us with thankful, joyful hearts. Another way is to offer back acts of service, the gifts that God has given to us, those, to be able to serve others, to be able to share God's joy. As our bell choir rings and shares their gifts, the ushers were going to come forward and collect God's tithes, our offerings. May we place our very selves to be shaped and molded into the people that God wants us to be to further God's kingdom.
Thank you.
We do give you thanks. We give you thanks for the many blessings of this life. We give you thanks for the opportunity to offer back to you with joyful hearts a portion of that which you have entrusted to us. We give thanks for the bounty of the hygiene drive for help for the homeless. We ask that you bless all that we collect together and offer to you through so many different places, that you might be able to multiply these gifts, use them to further your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's return to God in a time of intercessory prayer. Almighty and gracious God, as we gather together today, we gather together with hearts of joy and excitement. We gather together with hearts that weigh heavy. We gather together with hearts that are broken. Lord, we lift all of this up to you. We lay all of this at the foot of the cross. Lord, remind us that it's not up to us to change the world, but it's up to us to be your change in the world in whatever little way that you call us to be your people. Lord, we realize that we can't stop the wars that were raging around the world, and yet we pray for our leaders and the leaders of the world to make wise decisions. We don't have the power to be able to change around the economy, to change around healthcare, to be able to get rid of disease and illness. But we can be your hands, your feet, and we can be your presence. Lord, while we might not be able to do any of these things firsthand, we gather together in your name. We come before you, and we offer to you the many prayers of our hearts. Lord, help us to reshape our desires, so that they might be more and more in line with yours. Lord, help us to have a clear focus on being your hands, your feet. Lord, give us that focus of a destination, even the destination of being crucified, of losing our life for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, draw us close together. Deepen our relationships with one another and deepen our relationships with those around us. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might see those whom you place in our path, and that we don't see them as objects, but we see them as they truly are, your children, created in your image. Lord, help us to take the right path, the path that leads to fulfilling your kingdom here on earth until you come in all your glory. Use us in this place at this time that we might be able to make a difference in the greater Fond du Lac area. Lord, hear our prayers as we pray together the prayer you taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in Fond du Lac as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. No matter what version of the Lord's Prayer we say, no matter what language we say it in, no matter where we are around the globe, God hears us. That's beyond our understanding. But yet, that is God. I invite you to stand as we sing our sending song. Thank you. as you go out into the world, may you go out into the world conscious of which way you are going. Going not in the way of human control and management, but going in the way of God's kingdom. May you go and serve all of God's children. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.